Byron Community Church. Community church. What does that mean? The word community is on everyone's radar, especially because of the pandemic. On one hand, to say we're Byron Community Church means that we are a church in the Byron community rather than in Oak Ridge or in White Oaks. This church is in this community. But there is a deeper meaning of community. It's the idea of church as community instead of church in community. And there's a big difference. But not only that, just because a group meets in Byron and the members might enjoy close proximity to one another doesn't necessarily mean there's a strong sense of community. It's the idea that we are a people forged together, bonded together. We are there for each other. We are devoted to a common leader. We are driven by common purposes and goals. And we support, encourage, and above all, love one another. We're a community where people have a sense of belonging. And together, we work together to experience the life of Christ. So when I think of community, I think of Barneys. Now, I have never known a real person named Barney, but I grew up with Barneys. There was the cartoon character Barney Rubble, Fred Flintstone's best buddy. And I really enjoyed that Fred and Barney and their wives lived in that Stone Age community of Bedrock. What a community. You could drive a car with your feet. You had animals that functioned as household gadgets. You even had a pet dinosaur. What a community. But what I really appreciated was the sense of community, the friendship and the bond between Barney and Fred. And then, of course, there was Barney Fife. Maybe some of you remember that stumbling, bumbling deputy, but still very lovable. And the sidekick of Sheriff Andy. And they were in the community of Mayberry. What a community. It was a sleepy little town, a fictional town, but so much going for it. There was Aunt Bee. Everybody needs an Aunt Bee in her homemade cooking. And there was Floyd the barber. His barbershop on the main drag was a hangout. And these days we could all use someone like Floyd. But what I appreciated, what was so appealing, was the special bond and the relationship between Andy and Barney. There was a real sense of community. Now, my kids didn't grow up with Barney Rubble or Barney Fife, but there was another Barney. Now, some kids, I know, grew up watching the Sesame Street community. And then there was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? And then there was, what my kids enjoyed, Barney, the big purple dinosaur. Barney and friends. They would sing songs like, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. And then one of my favorites was, The More We Get Together. Do you remember it? Sing along. The more we get together, together, together. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. Well, that was Barney, all the Barneys that gave me that strong sense of community. But you know, Christian community is so much more than that. It's so much better. As I've been phoning around to you the last couple of weeks, I have discovered that many of you are hungry. Now, fortunately, it's not hungry for food. I'm glad that most of us are well-fed, but it's a hunger for fellowship. We're longing for that time where we'll be able to get back together as a church. When I think of community and togetherness, I I think of what happened to me BC, that's before COVID-19. I traveled down to Toronto. I got to Union Station. I had my lunch in a crowded food court. Finally found a table, and after a couple of minutes, a young woman came up, maybe on her lunch break, and she asked if she could sit with me. Now, technically, we were together at the same table, but there was no conversation, there was no bonding, and there was sure no relationship. So we were together, but we weren't really together. Now, later in the day, when my daughter Melissa and I went out for dinner, we told the greeter at the restaurant, "A table for two. We're together." Hey, did you read the paper the other day, thinking about community? There was a great article about the Urban League of London and its head, Shauna Lekowitz. And she was talking about boosting community, trying pods of groups to build that sense of community. But there's one thing she said that I really found intriguing. She said, "I think we're going to come out of this pandemic with just a much different appreciation for what it means to be in community with one another. Ideally, we're not going to take our relationships for granted." I heartily agree with her comment. Now, I do need to ease your anxiety. Whenever you hear the phrase living in community, even living as community, you might get that notion that I'm suggesting we live kind of commune style. That at the end of this service, I'm going to suggest that you sell all your possessions, move out to a farm in the country with some other Christ followers, get a pair of overalls, and begin growing chickens and raising tomatoes. Actually, it's the other way around, raising chickens and growing tomatoes. You can tell that I'm not much of a farmer. Or maybe the other way around, where you would move from your comfortable home in the suburbs to the inner city. Well, I do hope that this sermon is going to impact your view of community, but I'm not suggesting that you uproot, that you put a for sale sign on your front lawn after this service. But I do want to boost our idea of what community can be about. So I hope in this extended introduction that I have primed your thinking on community. Last week, we introduced our second core value, relate, loving one another. Now, years ago, when we identified this priority for our church, we wanted to make sure it captured our commitment to a high degree of community, a sense of community you know what, Josh? This is bad today. I didn't have a good sleep, and is it ever catching up to me? Okie smokes. Well, that's not helping. I feel like I've got marbles in my mouth today. Okie smokes. Okay, let's do her again. Well, I hope that by this point in our extended introduction, I've primed up your thinking on community. Last week, we introduced our second core value, relate, loving one another. Now, when we first worked on this core value, this priority, a few years ago, we wanted to make sure it captured our commitment to building a strong sense of community pulsating through this church. In fact, several years ago, we had another word for our core values acrostic. We used the word Byron. Now, what do you do with the letter Y? How do you come up with a verb beginning with Y? So, with God's help and His guidance, we did come up with a phrase, your place to belong. Now, unlike any of the other core values then and now, that value doesn't start with a verb, but it's a wonderful phrase that still speaks to the possibilities of community. And that's what we want to do. We want to build a strong sense of community, of what it means together, to be together. We need that urgent call to community. We need to build a case. We need a heartfelt affirmation for this priority of community. So I'd like you to come with me as we strive to rekindle our passion for our community. So I'm dividing the message today into five sections. We've already completed the first section. My goal was that we would boost our understanding and appreciation of community. Now what I'd like to do is a biblical survey of community, picking up some insights and impressions from the Bible. Then we're going to look at some barriers to community. We'll identify them. After that, we'll look at some benefits that we experience in community. Again, we'll identify them and a few comments. And then a brief close where we're going to look at building community, especially during COVID-19. So I hope you have your Bibles and you'll want to follow with me. And as I said, this is intended to be a survey, and it's going to be skimming over some passages. It won't be a thorough exposition, but I want you to follow with me and pick up some impressions as to what we believe the Bible tells us about the importance of community. You start in Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Did you notice the plural sense of God? Our triune God, by his nature and essence, is a community-oriented, together God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he has created us in his image. We are created for community. We are created for relationships, vertically with God, horizontally with one another. Now, sin came into the world scene and created a problem. There was alienation between God and us, but also alienation between one another. And God would need to solve that problem of this alienation, a problem beyond ourselves. And then if you go over to Matthew chapter 16, where our Lord Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and it says when he came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He's talking about himself as he asked that question. And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock," or on this confession, "I will build my church." Now, what I find interesting there is that the confession of Christ as Lord, we usually think of a confession leading to conversion. Romans 10:9, if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. But here, Jesus points in another direction. Not only does this confession lead to conversion, but it leads to community, where Jesus says, "I will build my church. I will build my community." And then just before the crucifixion, in Jesus' great prayer, he reveals his priorities, where John 17 records Jesus praying in 17 verses 20 to 23, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and in you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Here we see what was on Jesus' heart, his priority just before the crucifixion. It was for this building of community, of oneness, of unity, that he would have a people enjoying togetherness. And then we see this initial fulfillment of his prayer in Acts chapter 2, a record of the early church. My Bible titles this section, The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I hope you picked up that word together, mentioned strategically three times in Acts 2. This is the description of this early community of believers, the early church. In Ephesians 4:16, Paul says this about the Christian community. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. Here you see God's design, his strategy for the building up of his church. And then you have 1 Peter. We studied 1 Peter, and we parked on this section of 1 Peter that talks about Christian community. But to remind you, in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 2, Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Who are you in Christ? What's your identity? Peter says, you are part of a people. You belong to the people of God. This is such a strong declaration of community. And then 1 John, the epistle we looked at last week, at the very start of 1 John, in chapter 1, verse 3, John writes, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You see there this blending of fellowship with our triune God and fellowship with one another. It's not pick and choose. It's a package deal. You can't say, well, I really want to enjoy fellowship with God. I don't really care about fellowship with others. John makes it very clear that both are involved in real community. Just a couple of other passages. Back to Romans, and Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. Here Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." What a powerful image. What a compelling metaphor. We are part of the body of Christ, and we have this awesome responsibility to one another, all part of authentic community. And then finally, I want to read from Hebrews. And my guess is some of you are expecting that this would be a selection that would be read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, where the writer to the Hebrews says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So here you see a promotion of the importance of community in Hebrews. So what's the overall impression? Is the Bible in support of authentic community? You better believe it, a strong thumbs up. We are created for community. We do community because we are community. And that's worth repeating. We do community. We strive to build community because that's the essence of who we are. We're not just an individual in Christ. We are the people of Christ in His authentic community, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there you have a very quick biblical survey of community. Now I'd like us to think about some barriers to community, and I want to identify four or five barriers to community. The first barrier is what I would label individualism, or to be more specific, self-idolatry. This is self-reliance. This is self-sufficiency. It's the rugged individualism that says, I can do it all by myself. That's how some people approach Christianity, all by myself. But God's design, God's intent, is that we grow, that we develop, that we mature in community. A second barrier is isolation. Now, these days, there's forced isolation, and sometimes we may choose strategic isolation. Like Jesus, there's times where we need solitude and space and a quiet place. Now, what I'm talking about with solitude as a barrier is this privatized Christianity, similar to the first barrier where we have the notion that we can live the Christian life all by myself. It's a very dangerous barrier and obstacle to Christian development. A third barrier I would identify as misconceptions about introverts. Now, did you notice? I did not say that introverts are a barrier to community. As if we're saying, oh, if we could only get rid of the introverts, we'd have great community. Yes, introverts need to have some solitude and space so that they can retool, so that they can refocus, they can re-energize so that they can engage with other people. And in fact, when that happens, I have discovered that introverts are very effective in relationships and in community. Most introverts are very good one-on-one. Introverts have great compassion. They are insightful. Some of the very best listeners I know are introverts. They are very loyal. Did you ever observe that introverts provide a calming presence? No, they're not going to lead the way when it comes to meet and greet times. They're not going to be front and center. But don't underestimate the value of introverts. Every church needs introverts to build authentic community. A fourth barrier is what I have labeled competing communities. Too many worlds. Because of that, most of us are way too busy. We're trying to juggle all these worlds. We have a relationship with Christ. We have the church. We have our family. We have work. We have our neighbors. And the list just goes on and on. And we're worried we're going to drop a couple of these worlds. And actually, that might not be a bad thing. My concern is that we tend to view all these worlds, all these communities as kind of like spokes in a wheel. The hub is me. I'd suggest that at the center of your life needs to be Christ, but very close, if we were looking at a concentric circle, the very next circle would be the church. This church needs to be, this church, if you're a member, needs to be central in your life, not on the margins, not on the periphery. And what I want to tell you is that when you strengthen that commitment to the church community, the byproduct is strengthening some of the other important areas or worlds in your life. A fifth and final barrier or obstacle to community is what I would call a lack of purpose. A church needs a compelling purpose. If we don't have a compelling purpose, we're actually just a social club. What's the compelling purposes in this church? I would suggest that community provides the context for us flourishing in the other core values here at Byron Community Church. So let's move on to the benefits of community. I'm indebted to Dr. Macy from George Fox Seminary. He's provided a list of benefits. There are other lists, but I have found his list very helpful. So an initial benefit I would list would be community gives us a continuing and compelling awareness of Christ's presence among us. This, to me, is a terrific benefit. How do you experience Christ? You might say, well, it's through prayer or it's through Bible reading. But as a Christian community, we are embodying the presence of Christ. Christ in me, and as I relate to you, I am being like Christ, and if Christ is in you, you are being like Christ to me. This is a wonderful ministry we provide as we represent Christ to others in our Christian community. Another benefit which needs to be strongly mentioned is spiritual growth best occurs in community. Well, I know some people say, I can grow and mature in my Christian life all by myself, but God's design, God's intent is that we grow together in community. That's a very important feature when it comes to what God wants for us. A third benefit, I'm going to link two ideas together, accountability and guidance. You need accountability in your life. Did you notice in the New Testament, Jesus would send his disciples out two by two for a lot of reasons, protection and safety, but also for accountability. Who are you accountable to? Who mentors you? Who has permission in your life to ask you the tough questions? The importance of accountability. I have ways of monitoring my blood sugar through a reader. I can monitor my blood pressure through a sleeve device. God provides a tool. He provides a resource for you to measure and monitor your spiritual progress, and that is Christian community. And then a fourth benefit will cluster some Christian practices together. Prayer, worship, and service all work best in community. I mean, can you imagine a Christian approach that would emphasize serving yourself? Now, that might work at a gas pump. It might work for a buffet lunch, self-serve. But in the church, the whole idea is we are serving one another. When it comes to worship, hey, you might sing some wonderful hymns and choruses in the shower first thing in the morning, but there's nothing quite like worshiping with God's people. I really miss hearing and seeing some of you worshiping our Lord. And then there's prayer. Oh, yes, you can pray on your own, but to pray together with other believers in a Christian community. Just last Saturday, I had the privilege of having one of our senior members pray for me and my family over the phone. It was a 25-minute prayer, revival style, and I had to pull myself off the roof after that prayer. It was so uplifting. There's nothing quite like praying for each other. And then the fifth and final benefit I'm going to mention, and there's a lot more, is just that idea of your place to belong. Everybody wants to belong, and that's an important ingredient of church community. Years ago, I was a first-year student at university. I attended a Christian club event. It was a corn roast on campus, and I didn't know anybody, and nobody really greeted me. Nobody came over to talk to me. I tried awkwardly to start up a couple of conversations, but after a while, I ended up in a corner all by myself, feeling awkward, quite embarrassed. I ended up leaving the event halfway through. Now, fortunately, through a number of circumstances, I returned to the group, and 2 years later, I became president of that Christian campus group. But I determined that we would go out of our way to make sure everyone felt like they belonged. It was a passion I had then, and it's a passion I have now. Hey, as a church, you can tell me, I like the hospitality. They serve good meals at Byron Community Church. You could tell me you like the worship songs. You might even say that you like the preaching. But there's nothing that warms my heart more than to hear people say, Byron Community Church is a place where I feel like I belong. So I want to close this morning by just thinking briefly about building community during COVID-19. I know that many of us are missing our times together on a Sunday and during the week. And it's good that this is an opportunity for us to garner a deeper appreciation for fellowship and for community. Have you ever heard of the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder? I woke up the other morning and I laid in bed and I thought about how many of you I am missing these days. I hope to some degree that you're missing Carol and Josh and me, but it's just good to garner and foster that sense of appreciation. Now, there are things we can still do, even though we're not physically together. Keep sending out cards, emails, phone calls. I got a couple of cards this week that just were so inspiring and so encouraging. You don't know the value of reaching out and building community in that kind of way. And then I hope you have a holy anticipation. I hope that we've moved from if we get together again to when we get together again. And I think it's going to be a wonderful celebration. It's been a long time coming. And we're going to be careful and we're going to be cautious. And there likely will be restrictions. But oh, it will be good to be together again. And then just a P.S. We've discovered that there are many who are viewing our podcasts, our sermons week to week, and you're not a member of this church. But maybe you'd like to be a member. Maybe you'd like to be a part of this community. You want this sense of belonging we've been talking about this morning. You might wonder, are there membership fees that you have to pay to be part of this community? Now, the price has already been paid. I talked about the problem of sin, how it alienates us from God and from one another. But Jesus paid the price. It was an expensive price. He paid that great cost when he died on the cross for our sins to reconcile us to the Father and to one another. And no, you don't have to go through all kinds of initiation rituals. No, it's simply a matter of believing in Jesus Christ, acknowledging your sin, believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that he died for your sins, that he is risen, and then committing your life and trusting your life to Jesus Christ and to community. Do I believe in community? Does community matter? You better believe it. Now, next Sunday, we move on to our third core value. We're going to be looking at adoration, this wonderful idea of worshiping our triune God. And Josh is going to be bringing that message and the next to follow on worship. So you'll want to gear up and be ready for what he has to say. Hey, have a great holiday weekend. God bless you very much.